Well, this morning, as we continue our journey through the book of Romans in our series, Grace Unleashed, we're moving into a message called The Desperate Need, as I have titled it. Have you ever felt the weight of sin in your life? And it is a weight, isn't it, church? The reality of sin is often uncomfortable to confront. But it is crucial to acknowledge our desperate need for grace. And as we're going to learn this morning, that's for all of us. No one is exempt from that. Imagine with me for just a moment, a little kid trying to carry all of the groceries from the car to the house in one trip. Or you could say, wives, your husbands, because all of us men will try and get as many bags in our hands as we can. Efficiency, right? Less trips. But imagine that kid. They grab as many bags as they can, and they struggle to keep them all in their arms and not drop anything. As they waddle towards the house, the bags start slipping and sliding, and eventually the kid collapses under the weight of the groceries, spilling them all over the ground. What's the worst is when it's the gallon of milk that just goes everywhere. Just like those kids carrying the groceries, when we try to carry our sin or try to manage it on our own, we will collapse under its weight. And that collapse creates a huge mess in our lives, doesn't it? In today's society, the concept of sin is often downplayed or even dismissed altogether, isn't it? There's no such thing as sin. It's just the way you want to live your life. We live in a world that promotes self-reliance, autonomy, and moral relativism. And this mentality can lead us to overlook the severity of sin and its impact on our lives. The tension we face is the stark reality that sin is real. Sin is pervasive, and it has dire consequences. The question we need to face is this: how do we come to terms with our own sinfulness and our need for a Savior in a world that utterly denies these truths? We're going to continue in chapters 2 and 3. As I've said before, I would encourage you to read the fullness of Romans yourself, because I cannot break down every passage, every piece of Romans. Otherwise, we'd be here for an entire year, because Romans is a big book with a lot in it. So I would encourage you to read. I'm picking out some things that I think are important for this morning. Chapter 2, verse 18 says this: "But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness." Now look what he says there. Paul tells us, all sinful, wicked people. All. All. Verse 19, "They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them." Verse 21, "Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused." When I hear people oftentimes on Facebook talk about God, they're dark and they're confused. I wear a shirt. Some of you may have seen it. It's an orange shirt, and it says, "Stop taking Scripture out of context." I hate when people take Scripture out of context. In the pastoral world, we call this proof texting. You have an idea of something you want the Bible to say, so you go and find a verse that justifies what you think. That's not how we're supposed to interpret Scripture, church. That's not how we're supposed to use Scripture. The Scripture is good enough on its own. It doesn't need us to make it what we want it to be. We don't have to change the Scripture. There is a thing called sin. The Scripture is very clear. And sin is this: anything that separates us from God. Verse 22, Claiming to be wise, they instead become utter fools. Verse 24, so God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. Isn't that true today? They traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself. Man, that's a powerful verse. Who is worthy of eternal praise, amen. I'm going to read that sentence. We're going to look at that for just a moment. They worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself. This is a definition of our age that we live in today. We worship our bodies, we worship our identities, we worship each other, we worship celebrities, politicians, political parties. We need to get back to worshiping the King who went on the cross and died for our sins is who we need to worship today. Chapter 3, verse 10. As the scriptures say, no one is righteous, not even one. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. All have turned away. All have become useless. No one does good, not a single one. Geez, Paul, I mean, could you be any more mean and harsh and nasty? Woof. Their talk is foul like the stench from an open grave. Their tongues are filled with lies. Snake venom drips from their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. They rush to commit murder. Destruction and misery always follow them. They don't know where to find peace. They have no fear of God at all. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. In these verses, we are confronted with the harsh reality of sin and its consequences. As we read through these passages, we saw the depths of human wickedness and the universal problem of sin that plagues each and every one of us. The truth is clear, church. Sin is real, and we all have a problem with it. No one is exempt from the sin problem. Despite our best efforts, we all fall short of God's glorious standard, and we face the consequences of our sinful nature. This is why being a Christian, this is why being a Jesus follower is so important, church. There are a lot of people who try to cover up their sin with good deeds. Well, I did this, I did that. There's only one deed that covers our sin. And that's the deed that Jesus did on the cross when he died for our sin, when he carried the sin to the grave and then overcame it. How do we respond to the truth of our sinfulness and our desperate need for grace? Well, there's a few things. First, we must acknowledge and confess our sin before God. Let's start with acknowledge. You have it. Call it out for what it is. If you're a prideful person, you need to identify your pride in your life. There are a lot of proud people in the church and outside of the church. We need to identify that sin. And then you need to confess it to God and say, God, I am a sinner. We can go back to the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector. It's easy for us in church to be the Pharisee, isn't it? Hey, look at me, I'm not as bad as that guy. God, I'm good. I'm all right. But what God expects is for us to be the tax collector coming into the temple, beating his chest and saying, I'm a sinner in need of saving. Right? That's what God wants from us, a broken and contrite heart. We cannot experience the fullness of his grace and forgiveness without recognizing our own brokenness. I'm going to say that again if you didn't catch it. We cannot experience the fullness of God's grace and forgiveness without recognizing our own brokenness. Church, there are a lot of churches these days that are not doing that. They will recognize the grace and love of Christ, but they do not recognize the brokenness in our lives, the sinful life we lead that needs to change. The Holy Spirit came to transform us, not to leave us as we are. Second thing, we must humbly repent and turn away from our sinful ways. Repent means to change. That means your life needs to change. If you are carrying on sinful behavior in your life that is in the Bible as not good, not something you're supposed to be doing, guess what happens? You need to turn away from that life and go the other direction. Again, we have lots in the church today who are saying, it's okay. Just live your life. You're fine. God created you that way. It's okay. No. If the Bible says you're not supposed to do it, you're not supposed to do it. It's not that complicated. We try to overcomplicate it. Repent means change. Be transformed. God calls us to be transformed. This requires us to seek forgiveness and then restoration through Christ. You see, he doesn't want you to stay in a death spiral of sin. He wants to change you and restore you to how we were initially created, which was to be perfect. God wants us to be perfect. When we go to glory, we're perfect. When we go to heaven, there's no more sin. There's no more sorrow, no more shame, no more guilt. But do you know that you can live that way today? You don't have to wait till glory. We were talking about it in our Sunday school class this morning, our community group. If you look at the stories of Joseph and the story of David, both of them encountered sexual sin, opportunity for sexual sin, didn't they? One had a good response to the sexual sin temptation. The other one, not so much. We are called to be like Joseph, to turn and flee sexual sin. But it's not just sexual sin. It's all sin, cheating, lying, adultery. I mean, we can go down a list of all the things we're not supposed to do, right? But as we've talked about before, church, it's about our heart. If we get our heart right, if we spend the time in the Word and spend time in relationship with Jesus, our heart will change. And we don't have to worry about the behaviors. You know why? Because we want to be like Jesus. The behaviors will disappear if we're getting closer to Jesus. But the moment we put ourselves in front of Jesus and say, well, not this, that's when we get in trouble. That's when we commit idolatry. We're putting something before God that doesn't belong there. And what does the Ten Commandments say? There is nothing that belongs in front of God. God is number one. Last, we must embrace the reality that we cannot save ourselves. We cannot. I don't care how good you think you are. What did Paul say? No one is good. Not even one. You cannot be good enough to get to heaven. The Bible is very clear. The book of Romans is very clear to us today. That's why grace is so important. That's why what Jesus did on the cross is so important, church. Let us not forget that. Only through the saving work of Jesus Christ can we find redemption and restoration. Let's read Romans chapter 3, verses 24 through 25. Yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. Yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. You don't have to do anything to earn his grace. It's standing right before you. You just got to grab it. You got to choose to live it. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. You see, the truth is, the wages of sin is death, as we're going to learn in a little while, in a few weeks. But there is a free gift that is given to us. A gift that is freely given that pays the penalty for your sin. You're supposed to go to hell. You've earned hell. Each and every one of you have earned hell. But yet, God freely gives his grace so you don't have to live that. You don't have to experience that. That you can be heirs to his throne. You can be children of the king. Verse 25, for God presented Jesus as the sacrifice, the sacrifice. There are no other sacrifices needed. Jesus is enough. The sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. We have a gracious, loving, and merciful God. Do you believe that? I don't deserve any of his mercy. But I can tell you, my experience has been he shows me mercy a lot. And I imagine for many of you, that's the experience you have, is that God continually shows mercy even when you don't understand why he would do such a thing. As we've said before, this series is titled Grace Unleashed. God has unleashed a grace that surpasses our human understanding. I think we've all experienced people in our lives who are very gracious humans. They're nowhere near as gracious as God is. We cannot be as gracious as our God is. I wish I had more grace to give. I just sometimes don't. I'm a human. I only have a certain extent of grace that I can do. But I try to be better every day. We will continue to flesh out this grace over the next several weeks. As we continue to dive deeper into the letter to the Romans from the Apostle Paul. As we grapple with the reality of sin and our desperate need for grace, may we be reminded of the bottom line from this morning that we started with. Sin is real, and we all have a problem with it. Let us lean into the grace of God who offers forgiveness, redemption, and transformation to all who come to him in repentance and faith. We're all given that grace, just like we're all subject to sin. May this realization of our desperate need lead us to a deeper appreciation of God's grace. And hopefully a renewed commitment to live in alignment with his perfect will. That's what one of the things being a Nazarene, we believe in living God's will. Holiness is about being closer to Christ, being more like Christ, but it's also about following his will above your own. And that's the hard part. That's the hardest part. Because we have our own ideas, don't we? We have our own ideas of what's best for us. What's best for our life, our family, our children, our spouses. But God is the one who knows best. And following his direction, his will, is the best way. As I conclude, my friends, as we come face to face with the reality of our sin, and our need for grace, may we be humbled by the magnitude of God's mercy and the grace that he shows towards us. I am. I'm humbled by it because I know I don't deserve it. I know I make mistake after mistake after mistake, and yet God is always there standing waiting for me to repent and turn. This morning in our Sunday school class, I had to write this down because it was so good. We were doing a study by Craig Groeschel and his wife, and he said something that caught my attention. We cannot build a life of righteousness built on a foundation of sin. We cannot build a life of righteousness on a foundation of sin. We need to be transformed. Let us not shy away from acknowledging our sinfulness, but instead embrace the transformative power of God's grace in our lives. May we walk in the freedom and forgiveness that comes from Christ, knowing that He alone can redeem and restore us from the depths of our sin. As the worship team comes, may the Holy Spirit continue to work in our hearts, convicting us of our sin and leading us to a place of repentance and renewal. Let us embrace the truth that sin is real, but grace abounds even more. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for showing us grace. Grace that is undeserved. Grace that surpasses our understanding. Grace that we can't even begin to really fully comprehend. Father, you are good. You are so good to us. Father, I pray that each and every one of us would confess the sins that are weighing us down, as we talked about with the kid at the beginning. Father, we want pure hearts. We want contrite spirits within us. Father, make us more like you each and every day. Pray this in your name. Everyone said, amen.